Welcome to AUSA's Army Matters. I am Unzinger Curry.
And I am Major Brad Cooper.
And together, we bring you Army Real Talk. Major Cooper, I am so looking forward to today's discussion since we have special guests from the Arlington Recruiting Station. We have Staff Sergeant Jacob Swanson, as well as Staff Sergeant Juan Taylor. We are looking forward to a good conversation today. Isn't that right?
Yes, ma'am, it is. And it's especially awesome when we get some active duty soldiers coming in today, especially the recruiters to talk to us about how they are prospecting millennials and Generation Z, ma'am.
Excellent. So let's kick things off by having them introduce themselves. Staff Sergeant Swanson, please introduce yourself.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here and Sergeant Taylor. So I'm Staff Sergeant Jacob Swanson. Been in the Army for about 10 years now. Married, three daughters, twins on the way. So
wow.
Big family.
Good for you.
I joined the Army when I was 18, right out of high school. I wanted to get some job experience before I actually went off into the workforce. My goal was to do a couple of years, get some work experience, get some education benefits, go to college, join the FBI. You know, here I am 10 years later. Obviously, my plans didn't go exactly how I originally planned it, but I wouldn't change
it. No one's ever does, man.
Right.
I wouldn't change it for the world. I joined as an infantryman when I initially came into the Army. Now I reclassified into a 79 Romeo for recruiting. I went to Haiti in 2010 to help out with the earthquake for Operation Unified Response.
Oh, cool.
And I also went to Operation New Dawn. We were the last forces at the time before Iraq closed in 2011 to drive out of Baghdad.
Wonderful. And thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Staff Sergeant Taylor, please share a little bit about yourself.
Good morning and thank you for having me. Staff Sergeant Juan Taylor. I'm from Albany, Georgia. I'm married. We got my first child on the way. She's due in May.
Right, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. I joined the Army back in 2011 after I graduated with my bachelor's degree in marketing. I joined at the age of 24. And I joined the Army because I went to school for business and I figured that was not what I wanted to do. So I went to the recruiting office and saw my options, whether I wanted to go officer or enlisted. And I chose to go enlisted because I like the job satellite communications. I was looking for some technical training.
Very nice.
Since I've been in the Army, I've been to numerous countries. I spent time in Northwestern Africa, Eastern Europe. So I've had a lot of fun bouncing around.
Very nice. And I thank you for your service as well.
Thank you.
Hey, so guys, so thanks for coming out here today and talking to us about recruiting. But I want to start this thing off. So Sergeant Taylor, I know you're a huge Georgia Bulldogs fan. And the NFL draft's coming up here soon. So who do you think is your top prospect for the number one draft pick? I'm going to tell you mine because I'm a huge Big 12 fan, Oklahoma. So I can already tell you who my number one's going to be. So, and you could probably already go ahead and say his name, you know.
I mean, if I was an NFL team, I would be looking at Kyler Murray as well. I mean, I think he has all the intangibles. They talk about like his size and everything. But you look at guys like Russell Wilson who are able to go out there and excel. So I think he's going to be the guy that goes number one overall. He has that it factor like Baker Mayfield. So I think he'll do fine.
Yeah, he'll do fine as well, too. So, and I'm also excited that, you know, I was able to snatch up Jalen Hurts, man, from Alabama as well, too. Yeah. I just think he really wants to come over to Oklahoma and just get a Heisman Trophy.
I think he'll do well.
So, Sergeant Swanson, what you think about the NFL draft coming up? Anybody you're particularly looking at?
I mean, not necessarily because I'm a New England Patriots fan, so you know they're pretty good.
Well,
already.
You guys definitely got some stuff going on in the news media this week.
Allegedly. Anybody that's going to help out Tom Brady, so I think Coach Belichick will get that sorted out just fine, and we'll go for a repeat.
Yeah, I mean I can't complain. I mean some folks are, you know, sick and tired of seeing the Patriots in the Super Bowl, but I mean, you can't. And Tom Brady is the greatest of all time. I will go on record and say that. So they are. So what do you think? You're over there shaking your head, Sergeant Taylor. What do you think?
I'm just ready for the Falcons to get back to prominence.
Matt Ryan. I thought Matt Ryan had it, man. You got to give him a couple more years, I think. And
we
Matt
had
Ryan.
A lot of injuries last season, but look out for us this year.
Yeah. Matt Ryan's good.
Okay. Enough about that football talk, especially if you're not going to talk about Dallas Cowboys. Let's get into the show. So we're going to ask a few questions, hopefully have a nice dialogue and get to know a little bit more about the world of recruiting. Mm-hmm. So I first would like to ask, Overall, what is the Army's recruiting goal for this year?
So for this year, you know, the Army as a whole, use rate is 72,500 mm-hmm. is what their set goal is for this year.
Okay. And then obviously you have a different recruiting goal based on your recruiting station. So what is your goal?
So it trickles down all the way to the station level. So our specific mission is for 31 active duty enlistments and 7 Army Reserve enlistments.
Okay. All right. So what are one of the ways that you all are working towards achieving that goal for your station?
So as recruiters, you know, we're just here embedded with the community, obviously. Mm-hmm. So we're lucky enough to be in a military area.
Right.
But normally we're, you know, in the high schools, college campuses, calling high school students, graduates. Social media is a big push now that how to contact, you know, more people and get them to respond to us and everything like that with the generation changes.
And do you see, you've been in the military for some time, and I understand you've been in the area of recruiting for some time as well. Do you see the difference or the benefits of using social media to recruit young, interested soldiers?
I definitely do see the difference. It's a lot easier to communicate them that way. Mm-hmm. Without creeping them out, it's easier to get them to respond. And it's very quick versus, you know, like dialing on the telephone, just cold calling people, when you can go out, find them, add them, send them friend requests and everything.
Very good. Okay, we love technology.
So that's good. So what are some other ways that you guys encourage? I know it's like I have a 17-year-old son, you know, a junior in high school, and he's definitely looking at joining the military. So what are other some ways that you would encourage the Generation Z that's coming up now to join the military?
I think it's really just finding out what their goal is in life and pinpointing that, and then showing them a way how the Army is actually able to help them achieve that goal. Because regardless of whether you're interested in the military or not, you're going to want to have some sort of plan. And so it's our job to show them that, you know, the Army is the most beneficial way to actually achieving their goal. That's going to be the easiest for them and the least expensive for them as well.
So name some of those benefits that you guys are out there promoting right now.
My favorite benefit to promote is excitement. I like to tell people, hey, you can get a very nerdy job like myself, but you can also jump out of planes at the same time. Still go and shoot weapons and throw grenades and everything while still maintaining your normal job.
Right. Do you find that those who are interested in joining the military, joining the Army, do not have a full understanding of the benefits that the Army definitely offers?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of miscommunication between them, because a lot of people go off of what their friends and family are telling them rather than coming to us or asking the recruiter the source of the most current information, because things change all the time.
Right.
And so people think that, you know, when they walk into a recruiting station, they have to join. Like, no, it's all volunteer force. We're here just to give you that information so we can help you make that that decision for yourself that's going to benefit you and your future at the same time.
Right. Well, this is definitely dated, but my father, he served for 21 years. And all the benefits that he has, I'll say, reaped over the years have been worthwhile. And, of course, he enjoyed serving his country. So I think if people understand the benefits that they will receive, I'm sure recruitment will probably be a little bit easier.
Yeah.
But informing our youth is one of the challenges, not just with you all, but with AUSA as well.
Yeah, I tell people, I mean, I've been in the Army 10 years now. I'm halfway to my retirement, and I'm only 28.
Right.
So by the time I'm 38, I hit 20 years, I can stay or go if I choose, right? And then I'm still young enough to do a whole nother career.
Exactly.
I'm going to have 2 retirements by the time I'm 60. I'm going to have 5 kids. I'm going to need it.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's one thing. So, I mean, when I joined in 97 to the National Guard, Georgia National Guard, so I'm right there with you, Sergeant Taylor. I mainly joined for the education benefits. I mean, the National Guard gave me a 4-year degree, you know, and then that's how I went on to the ROTC program and became an officer. But it's definitely been worthwhile and beneficial. And then now, you know, you have your 9/11 bill and your GI bill, and you can pass that along to your family members.
Right.
So,
yeah, I think most people think that the education benefits or only start when you get out of the Army. But I've done all of my college since I've been in. I've done associates, I've done my bachelor's, and I'm halfway done through my master's right now too, all since I've been in the Army.
Right, that's very nice. So with us talking about the benefits, and the beauty and the excitement of joining the Army. I am always troubled because I hear about the percentage of the eligible youth. Only 30% of our youth between 17 and 24 are eligible to serve. Whereas we have 70% that just cannot serve. So you have this small niche, 30%, and they are eligible to serve in obviously different branches, go to college and things of that nature. How do you work past that obstacle?
So I think that that number is so high because when you look at our regulations, yeah, you might be disqualified for that, but you know they grant waivers and exceptions to stuff like that that aren't going to hinder service, right? So that's how the Army is able to overcome it because they do allow medical waivers for things that aren't serious or are going to hinder somebody's service. So that's really the main thing. And then obviously just kind of, I don't want to say judging people, but looking at them head to toe just to kind of get a pre-qualifying sense if they're actually going to be, if they're going to be able to process or not.
Okay. Very nice. All right. So I'm also interested, you with your almost five children and you with your almost one child, you know, what do you say to other parents? I'm assuming your children are young, but what do you say to other parents that are like, oh, Hua, Army is great. We love the military. We love that they serve and protect and all those great and wonderful things. But then they say, but not my child. I don't want my child to join the military because they have this fear or this misunderstanding of what is involved when you join the military. So how do you combat that?
Well, I always tell parents, I say, what your son or daughter, whatever they sign up for, that's what they're going to do regardless of where they're at. I've been in 7 years. I've never been to a combat zone. When I was out of the country, I was doing satellite communications. I may have lent a helping hand to do other stuff, but what I signed up for is what I've done.
All right. Okay.
So if your child doesn't want to do like a combat specific job, I would tell them to sign up for something in the service section.
And that's really good for people to hear. Thank you for that.
I think a lot of people don't realize that with the Army, you're able to actually choose based off your qualifications. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to be just thrown into the field to be like, hey, here you go, go do this. No, you're going to choose. And that's where us as recruiters, we sit down with everybody once they're qualified to make sure like, hey, this is what you're going to do, lay it all out for you. And so that way people don't think they're having some wool pulled over their eyes.
Excellent. Very nice.
So walk us through just a... You know, I'm a prospect. I walk in the door. I want to think about joining the Army. So how do you guys take myself? And I'm 18 years old. I may be a little overweight. How do you guys take me through the entire process to get me qualified and get me shipped off to basic training? How do you do it, Sergeant Taylor?
Okay. So, I mean, it all starts out with that interview. With my interview, I always tell people my Army story, my motivation for joining the Army. And then I try to get an idea of what they're trying to do. I always ask them, what do you want to be in 5 years? So then they'll tell me where they want to be. And then I give them a few different paths of how they can get there.
Do most prospects walking in know what they want to be? Because I'm almost 40 years old and I don't know what I want to be yet when I grow up, to be honest.
So they do not. And then, so I use the ASVAB to kind of help with that. So once they're test qualified, and they come back and we sit down and we look at jobs and say, well, maybe you will excel in this area. And then they'll look at jobs and they'll think, hey, I never thought about doing that, but I'm qualified for it with the Army. So I'm like, yeah, let's look into it. So we look at videos and then I get them to talk to people that I do know that are in the Army about that job and how they like it. And then maybe sometimes they decide that they want to do it. Sometimes they don't.
So you guys give them like a list. Like when I joined, my recruiter basically gave me the book, the thick book that everything I was qualified for. And he's like, pick your top five. Do you guys still do that? Or do they just say they come in and like, I am hell bent on being a infantryman ranger type thing?
We get a mixture. Some kids don't, or they don't know what they want to do. Some are very, very direct, right? They have that one path they want to do. So that's where our job is to, you know, show them that, hey, there might be this position, but look at the bigger picture too. You know, you're going to see things that you didn't even think that were possible for you to do within the Army. And it might spark that interest that you didn't know that was actually there. So we like to have people have a couple of different choices. That way we can kind of get a good understanding of where they want to go, and that way we can help them the best way we can.
So you mentioned ASVAB. First, what does ASVAB stand for civilians like myself? What is that?
It stands for the Armed Services Vocational Aptitude Battery.
Very nice. Okay, so what are the other qualifiers? In the ASFAB, that's a
streamlined test?
Yeah, streamlined test. Thank you. And then you also have a physical test, correct?
Yeah, so the physical, it's a medical physical. So there's not like a physical fitness test or anything like that to come into the Army, right? So it's a doctor just going over your medical history, going over the medical questionnaire that, that you and the recruiter would fill out, and just going in depth to make sure that there's no underlining issues that's going to prevent you from your service.
Okay.
So going back to, you know, me walking in the door. So I had to decide on my job. I want to be a Ranger. Got it. You guys check out my ASFAB scores and you see that I qualify mathematically and you know, and all the other fun stuff with the ASFAB score. So what's next for me? So what's this MOS PT test that they have to take?
Yes, so it's the OPAT.
It's the OPAT. Okay. Yes.
So it stands for the Occupational Physical Assessment Test. And basically, it's depending on what job you choose. So there's three different categories. Your more physical jobs or physically demanding jobs are going to be in the heavy category. So you have to qualify the heaviest. But there's four different events. So you have your standing log jump, you have a medicine ball throw, you have a standard deadlift, and then shuttle sprints.
So, wow. So at least three out of the four are going to be on the new Army Combat Fitness Test. So that's pretty awesome right there. That's good. Yes. That's great. So they pass this and hopefully, you know, they pass it to where they can be within this MOS. Then do you guys take them up the MEPS for all the medical stuff?
No. So once you've taken your ASVAB and your physical, you're qualified for the Army.
Okay.
The occupational physical assessment test doesn't come until before you actually ship off the training.
Gotcha.
So you've signed your contract, you have a ship date, and then we do all of the, you know, the future soldier orientation and then the OPAT as well. So that is done before you actually ship the training, not during your enlistment process.
So when I joined, we had this program called the Split Out Program, where basically, you know, I went to basic training after my junior year of high school, and then I came back, did senior year of high school, and then I went to my AIT is what they call it back, Advanced Individual Training, is what they call our MOS job back then. Do they still have that program?
Yes, they do. So they open it up to high school juniors going into their senior year, and then obviously college students like you were. In the day. So we were able to actually work with a young man who's actually getting ready to go to his advanced individual training phase this summer when he did basic training last year.
Awesome. Cool. And then also, I'm assuming they also have the delayed injury program as well too, right?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. That's good stuff.
So they have a nice strategic path that people can take that prepares them or prepares new recruits for the Army. Very good. All right.
So, what are some of the stereotypes you hear from prospects that you would like to dispel today with folks coming in wanting to join?
I'd say the number one stereotype that I hear is the Army's going to send me to war. Mm-hmm. And I tell people all the time, it's like, hey, man, I've been in 7 years and I've yet to go to a combat zone.
Right.
I mean, it's not by choice. It's just the way the cookie has crumbled for me.
Right.
Yeah. Is there different stereotypes among men and women? Like women say something different and the men are, or is it pretty much all the same?
Yes, I do see a lot of women, they think that the Army is not for them. They look more to like the Air Force and the Navy, especially with the Navy and their medical jobs. And I'm like, hey, we have an entire medical corps with pretty much everything from veterinarian food specialist to operating room specialist. Like it varies.
What other type of stereotypes you guys hear?
I think specifically as recruiters, people tend to not want to believe what we have to say because they think that recruiters are just going to lie to them, everything like that. But what we do, especially within our office here in Arlington, we show them in black and white, so that way, like, hey, I'm telling you this, but here's my validation as well. Mm-hmm. So we like to debunk that myth that, hey, all recruiters are going to lie to you or anything like that, but we're just here to help.
Right.
That's our goal, is to make sure that we get you on the path that you want to go to and show you how the Army's going to make it happen.
Maybe I've been immersed into the military a little bit too much, but I'm thinking, of course, recruiters, the Army recruiters are telling you the truth. So I would like to end by having either both or one of you share one of your favorite recruiting stories.
So one of mine took place about a year and a half ago, and it started out even before that. So there was a young man who here from here in Arlington. He was a football player at Yorktown High School, and he was a lineman, so he was a really hefty guy, right? So I think he ended up losing close to 100 pounds while we were waiting for his medical documents to be reviewed by the doctor and everything like that. So he lost over 100 pounds. He would come out, work with us every day and come to Future Soldier training, everything like that. And then when he finally joined, he ended up coming in as a 25 Bravo, 25 uniform. And so he went to Korea, had his first overseas assignment. Now he's back stateside, came back in, still looking like he's in real tip-top shape. And so that was one of my favorite ones, just to see that journey and that process unfold throughout the time.
That's very cool.
I would say my favorite success story was with an officer candidate. He wanted to join because his father had served in the Army and his father was killed in action. And he actually had a camp overseas named after him. So he wanted to continue the legacy. So it was a very good experience to help him get to his goals.
Yeah, that's actually touching. Very nice. Yes. Okay. Well, we thank you very much, both of you, for coming out and discussing the Army recruiting process and stories. We are excited about pushing this information to our listeners because a lot of times there are some misconceptions about why you should or should not join the Army. And again, I'm, immersed in the Army. I love the military. My father would say that, or does say that, the Army saved his life. And so because of that, I have continued to support the Army here, working for the Association of the U.S. Army, and then just being a support for military and soldiers as a whole.
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for coming out to us and hanging out with us today. I really do appreciate it. We all appreciate it here at AUSA. So for our listeners out there, go see Staff Sergeant Promotable Swanson and Staff Sergeant Taylor at the Arlington Career Center, which is down the street. What's the address?
2300 North Pershing Drive, Suite 102.
Look, I'm not telling you guys to go out there and join the Army. I'm just saying, hey, go out and meet these really nice guys. I mean, and, just have a cup of coffee. Sergeant Taylor loves coffee, so buy him a cup of coffee. But, yeah, just go see him, and you may like what you see. So I appreciate everyone listening today.
To all of our listeners, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to the Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Keep it locked in here for all Army Matters. And for next week's episode, enjoy family voices.
AUSA is the U.S. Army's professional association, a voice for the Army and support for the soldiers.
For more information about AUSA or to become a member, visit AUSA.org. And listeners, be sure to have a beautiful yet productive day.
Oh.